The good news of God's love according to John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader among the Judeans. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. God has no interest in condemning sinners. Yay, good for us. God only wants to save them. God wants to save every person on earth because God passionately loves every person on earth, every Republican and every Democrat, everyone in the United States, everyone in Israel, and everyone in Iran. God loves us, and God saves us by giving us a concrete example of undying and unconditional love. God's love is glorified when Jesus is lifted up on the wood of a cross. Believing in the love of God, demonstrated by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, transforms us so completely that Jesus can only describe it as a kind of rebirth. Entrusting ourselves to God's love enables us to see and to enter into a new creation called the kingdom of God. It sets us off on a journey into the unknown, surrounded and embraced by love. A journey much like the one God invited a man named Abram to make. The book of Genesis is about a creator who wants to live in relationship with creation, a goal that is blocked again and again by human sinfulness and rebellion. In choosing Abram, who will soon be called Abraham, God begins an audacious plan. By concentrating divine attention on this man and his extended family, God will then bring all human families into the arms of divine love. In Genesis, we're told how when one of his brothers died, Abram and his wife kind of adopted their nephew Lot because they had no children of their own. We're told how their whole extended family moved from an ancient city named Ur to settle in a place called Haran, where Abram's father died. And it is at that moment of grief and loss that God speaks to Abram for the first time. God had last spoken to Noah, telling him to build an ark to save his family from a flood. 9 generations had lived and died between Noah and Abram, and we aren't told that God ever spoke to any of them, or maybe none of them was listening. When God speaks to Abram, God invites him to leave everything that is familiar and start a new chapter. He is to leave his extended family, to leave behind his security and his sense of identity. He is to abandon a prosperous and settled life and entrust himself completely to God. If he, his wife, and his nephew are willing to go where God sends them, God promises to bless them and to bless the whole world through them. Whenever God makes promises, Abram believes that God will keep God's word. The Bible teaches that God sees Abram as a righteous person simply because he trusts that God will keep God's word. That's how the Apostle Paul writes of Abraham in his letter to the Christians of Rome. He believed God, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. Paul knows that the church in Rome has both Jewish and non-Jewish people among its members. Devout Jews who had come to believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah of Israel, and pagans who had left behind the religions of Greece and Rome to embrace the Christian faith. Paul needs to explain to all of them that although he himself is a devout Jew who believes in Jesus, he was commissioned by God to preach to the non-Jewish people of the empire. Jewish people structure their identity around the ancient laws given to Moses on Mount Sinai, but they see Abraham, a man who lived long before Moses, as the father of their people. Paul uses Abraham as an example of the faith that is shared by all Christians, whether or not they are Jewish. Abraham wasn't righteous because he followed God's law. The law was given centuries after Abraham had lived and died. The law was given so that the Jewish people could structure their lives and their society around God's desires. But the law does not save people from the power of sin. Only Jesus does that. Jesus does that for those who govern themselves by the law and for those who simply place their trust in God as Abraham did. Abraham trusted God to guide him on a journey without a map. Psalm 121 describes a journey to a very specific destination. It's one of the songs sung by the ancient Israelites when they made a pilgrimage to the city of Jerusalem. As they traveled through rough and uncertain terrain, they sang to one another to encourage one another. Remember, the Lord watches over you. The Lord will preserve your life. When we sing Psalm 121, we proclaim to one another our trust that God is always able to watch over us because God never sleeps on the job. God doesn't send us off and then wait for us at the destination. God journeys with us, holding a protective canopy over our heads wherever we go. Abraham was righteous because of his trust in God's promises, and we are righteous because of our trust in God's promises. We trust God to keep God's word. In his own life, Paul had experienced how God justifies the ungodly. God invited him on a journey of faith, even though he had violently persecuted the followers of Jesus. Everyone is a sinner. Everyone is reconciled to God by Jesus. Everyone has the opportunity to have their lives transformed. Because your faith in Jesus makes you faithful to Jesus and to his way of living. You too become the embodiment of God's undying and unconditional love for the whole world. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.